The women's liberation movement of the 1960s and 70s might seem like it was a very long time ago to young women today, but it's part of our history that is essential for them to know, according to Pamela Stewart, a professor in the College of Integrative Sciences and Arts at ASU who teaches American women's history. This weekend, she'll be speaking at the West Valley chapter of the National Organization of Women about that era, and I spoke with her more about the counterculture, civil rights, and anti-war movements that intersected with the women's movement, and I talked to her about how she is seeing parallels today.
The development and the marketing of the pill beginning in 1960, that idea that potentially a woman could indeed control her own fertility, suggests things about autonomy that weren't quite possible in the same way before. But also things like the lunch counter sit-ins beginning in 1960, many of those led by women like Ella Baker, like Diane Nash, who were active in the civil rights movement, but also really were putting themselves forward, not just as bridge builders, as sometimes they're termed, but as leaders in that movement as well.
You said at one point in your life, you wouldn't have called yourself a feminist, maybe. So I wonder, how did you come to this?
I do certainly tend to approach it academically, meaning that I am a historian. I think that way. I'm a teacher. But in my own life, really undergoing some significant challenges at various points and really having to, for myself, assess my place in the world as a woman, potentially creating a career. I didn't start college till I was in my 30s. I had children at home. So really having to think, even by the 1990s, what was out there, what was possible. And then also now teaching, as I have for many years, I find that young people and even less traditional student age populations really are shocked to discover that even access to information about birth control was illegal in this country for many decades. That idea that it was quite legal to not pay women what men are paid, even though they're doing the same job, that women needed a husband's name on their credit card, things like this. So that idea that, there's a lot of information missing for public consumption is something that also has motivated me in terms of my interest in what I focus on.
I wonder, when you approach this topic with your students, do you get the reaction often that this is all fixed?
To some degree, I think that, and I've certainly had students say, I was at work this week and my boss said, fill in the blank, and it was because they were in the class that now this became something beyond, that was just a silly thing to say, and more like, wait a minute, there's a context for this. There's a history as to why he thinks he can talk to me that way. But also, I think a lot of times, not only women, but people think that individually they're doing okay. And so maybe if each of us individually just did the things we're supposed to do, if maybe we didn't get so upset or whatever it might be, that things will just work out. And then they start seeing that that's not the case. And so I do think it's that mix of creating a foundation of what has gone before that then people's own personal experience can connect to, and they begin to realize, there's still more work to be done.
With what's happening recently, just in the last several months and since the election, with women's rights in this country, with the Women's March being maybe the largest march that's ever happened, do you think that some of those issues are coming back to the forefront?
I've been very interested in just seeing the level of interest and willingness to engage in terms of listening, in terms of putting your body out there, in public. Honestly, in women's history, for a very long time, the very idea that a woman might get up and speak in public or march in the streets, even for getting the vote back in the 19-teens, these women were harassed. This was not deemed ladylike. So again, I think sometimes really realizing that even though not everyone is agreeing on every single policy, feminism is really very multifaceted. It's a rather big tent. And I think there are testimonies of women of late that are saying, I've never been part of anything like that before. And that's exactly what you would read in those who participated in the civil rights movement, the women's movement, that when they first put themselves out there, yes, they're a little scared, they're a little uncomfortable, but they find this connection and they find this meaning and they find courage they didn't know they have. And so I think the very acts, these things that are going on, really have revitalized that idea that individuals and collectives feel that they can make a difference, even if they don't yet know exactly what that difference might look like.
Do you think that's true for the younger generation right now, too?
Yes, I think this is a moment for various reasons that has galvanized people. Again, even if the specific goal isn't always identical for everyone, I don't see that as fundamentally necessary in terms of here's our policy that we want. I think in past women's movements, certainly in past civil rights movements, there is room for Black Power and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X in the sense of it can take more than one point of view to actually get something done. And so, yeah, it's exciting to be able to imagine what's possible when people really do believe that their place in democracy can make a difference.
I wonder, looking at what's happening now, when you look at that historically, do you think that we made any progress over the last several decades in terms of equality, or is this just starting all over again?
No, we are absolutely not starting all over again. At the Women's March after the inauguration, I had a couple of former students who texted me or emailed me photographs at the march, and they had created signs that quoted Susan B. Anthony or that quoted women from the past and told me, you know, I wouldn't have known there's a history to this if I hadn't have been in that class. So I think that it's exciting to see, and certainly there has been an amazing amount of change, but change doesn't mean you're there yet. It just means, you know, you've kept on moving.
Dr. Pamela Stewart is a professor in the College of Integrative Sciences and Arts at ASU. She'll be at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Surprise tomorrow to talk about the domestic disturbances that took place during the 60s and 70s in America for the West Valley chapter of the National Organization of Women.